You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. Good racing to look forward to as well. A good card at Salisbury. We've got a card at Carlisle which contains the Carlisle Bell, Cumberland Plate and the fillies listed Eternal Stakes. We're jumping at Worcester and into the evening it's action on the turf at Bath on the all-weather poly track at Kempton. And there's a good card over in Ireland from Nace as well, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined by Sam Turner. How are you, Sam?
I'm very well, Mark. How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah, good form, thank you.
Good. We'll start with a bit of news as we usually do, then we'll move on to Wednesday's action. But before we get there, pretty big week last week, Sam, I suppose.
Yes.
Did you have a good Royal Ascot?
Yeah, enjoyed it immensely. A little bit of success each day. Nothing to, you know, say that I could go and tell the Daily Mail where to go. But just chiseled a few, Bob. Most days, a couple of blank ones. But yeah, I mean, you only need one good result, don't you, every day, and you pretty much pay for the meeting, and that was some fantastic performances, some great racing. I thought that coronation with Aveda and Found and Lucida was a fantastic race, and obviously we saw some blistering performances from the likes of Time Test and Acapulco, and what was the other one that won by a good margin as well? That was really impressive. Snow Sky, obviously, on the Saturday was a tremendous performance. So, yeah, some really, really top class racing on, you know, good fast summer ground, and we saw horses accelerate, which was nice for a change.
Yes, it all worked very well, didn't it? Good 5 days, new race as well, the Commonwealth Cup, that seemed to go down pretty well.
Right, yeah, that was one of the performances of the week. That was the one that I omitted. Muharrar, obviously, brilliant performance. Limato running really well from a sluggish draw and a bad draw, probably. And you know, honourable mentions to the likes of Anthem Alexander in behind, but Muharrar really one of the stars of the week.
Yeah. So that's last week. A bit of news before we get stuck into Wednesday then. And the big news over the last couple of days is that Barry Geraghty has been confirmed as the new retain rider for JP McManus. It was the obvious choice, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was almost the worst kept secret in racing, really. I mean, it was an actual natural progression, really, because obviously Barry's got good links with JP, courtesy of wins on Jeski in the Champion Hurdle. More of that, obviously, in the World Hurdle and Shut the Front Door, which he steered to win the Irish Grand National. Obviously, with JP having horses with Nicky Henderson as well, there's just a certain amount of continuity and consistency there. And, you know, Barry's, well, now that AP is gone, and, you know, Barry and Ruby Walsh are, well, probably the two big race jockeys that, you know, everybody looks to, really. And, you know, doesn't make many mistakes, Barry Geraghty, and he's a great man to have on their side.
And just kind of guessing how it's going to work as well. If you've got AP playing a key role in the background scene of things, and then you've got Barry Geraghty riding for you, it's going to be a pretty big operation.
Yeah, they've got some fine minds there, certainly helping out, and obviously Nicky Henderson's well involved there, and, you know, a lot of JP's trainers are shrewd cookies. He likes to share them around now, the horses, so it looks a real natural progression for Barry Geraghty, and he's a shrewd man, doesn't often pick wrong if he has the choice of two. Very, very good judge of a horse, usually in the right place in the right time, great track position, great awareness there of various courses over in Britain and in Ireland, of course. And, you know, there's other good lads coming through. Mark Walsh will probably continue to ride a fair few for JP as well, so they've got some good talent in the saddle.
Yeah, arguably unlucky not to be champion Irish jockey, wasn't he?
Yeah, very much so. You know, improving hand over fist, really, and probably a name that isn't that synonymous with British racing, because he doesn't ride over here that often, but those who watch the Irish racing tell me that he's an exceptional talent.
Yeah. Bit of other news. I see that Qualify is going to bid for an Irish Derby success on the back of the Oaks.
Yeah, that's boiling up to be a terrific little race. I think we get the Dex today, don't we? You know, and there was Plishcock could run, and, you know, one or two others, obviously. So that Irish Derby really is boiling, you know, Jack Hobbs in there, and, you know, some real quality individuals from Ballydoyle as well. So, yeah, we're looking to get a nice race together for the weekend. It'll be the pinnacle of the weekend, really.
Anything else caught your eye?
What, for the weekend or
just in, just the news in general? In general.
That's a nice shirt you got on. I don't know, really. It's a little bit silly season, isn't it? Once the Royal Ascot is done and dusted. Obviously, we've got, you know, good stuff at Newcastle this weekend with the Northumberland Plate, which is, you know, the Pitman's Derby is fantastic. I was lucky to be up there last year, and I mean, the crowds were just absolutely astonishing, really. They really do love the racing up there. It'd be fascinating to see what happens when they go all weather, because, you know, Newcastle for me is in danger of becoming a really, really great race course and deteriorating into a little bit of an also ran race course, which would be a real shame, because, you know, the amount of patronage it gets up there, and the amount of people that actually go through the gates there to watch top class, you know, good solid handicap racing with a few, you know, fighting fifths and you know, the chip chase stakes and those sort of races sprinkled amongst the regular itinerary and diet there. It's just be a real shame for me that it's going to go all weather and we're going to lose the historic races like the Pitman's Derby, which are, you know, traditionally very, very well attended.
Yeah, it's almost like you've got to savour it this weekend because the history's going to disappear soon,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of other news lines postponed, going to run in the King George. It was a little bit unfortunate, really, the way the race worked out on Saturday. And Hugh Morrison's looking at the Ebor for Arab Dawn, who, you know, should stay every inch of that trip on the Naze Mile. Looks perfect for him. Nice flat track, mile six, stepping up from the mile and a half in the Duke of Edinburgh handicap. You know, and he's a horse that is very progressive, and he did well to hold off Ashman Bridge, even if Adam Kirby did throw away his whip in the last 100 yards.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll leave that there. We'll move on to Wednesday's action. We're going to look at three races at Carlisle and one from Salisbury, and we'll get Sam's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to the action on Wednesday. Then we start in the 3:35 at Carlisle, which is the Carlisle Bell, a handicap over the extended 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. A field of 17 here, Sam. So a nice, easy puzzle to start with.
Yeah, I mean, some terrifically competitive handicaps at Carlisle. Some great stuff to get your teeth into. And, you know, obviously the draw is going to play a little bit of a part here. And, you know, one or two horses that look more than capable of stepping up on what they've actually achieved to date as well. You know, the likes of Art Obsession, likely race from David Barron's yard. Altharus, Sally Hall's 5-year-old's quietly progressive. I'm going to go with David O'Mara here. He settles 2 or 3 in this. And He's No Sate is a horse that interests me a little bit, in that David hasn't had him long. He was with David Marnane, another excellent trainer, until the spring. But obviously, like a lot of these horses, ends up at David O'Mara's barn, and he's starting to become very, very dangerously handicapped. He was 100 rated in Ireland, and now he's residing off a mark of 85, this son of Dutch Art, who's in the news, obviously, with a couple of high-profile Ascot winners. He ran really well at York last time out behind Regal Dan. He was unconsidered sort of 8-1 chance. Medi was in that race. He was very well backed, and there was a lot of old yardsticks that run really well on the Naze Mile. And he was one of those horses that acquitted himself with plenty of credit, keeping on steadily. You got the cheek pieces on Wednesday afternoon. Stepping up in trip, I think he's got a reasonable draw in stall one. Fergal Lynch booked. And I just wonder whether we might see the best of He's No Saint tomorrow back on fast ground over a mile.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time that David O'Mara has improved after a few starts, especially when the headgear goes on and the trip changes. It kind of catches your eye, doesn't it?
It does, really. I mean, it's a very, very competitive race, 17 runners. And the one box looks a great box, but it might be a bit awkward unless he makes the use of it, Fergal Lynch. But, you know, he's pretty useful around there, Fergal. He's ridden Carlisle God knows how many times. So hopefully they'll go a good gallop with Boonga Regatta in the field and one or two other pace setters, and that might just set it up for He's No Saint, who I would imagine be ridden fairly conservatively in order to get the trip.
Okay, He's No Saint then for Sam in that one. Moving on to the 4:10 at Carlisle next. This is the Eternal Stakes, which is a filly's listed race over the extended 6 furlongs. This one's for the 3-year-olds, and some nice fillies in here.
Yeah, nice. They've named this after your favourite band, Eternal. You were a big fan of them, weren't you?
Of course. Who wasn't?
The 1990s crooners. Tempting can live up to its name here and tempt me in, really. This filly by Pivotal, out of an Entrap mare. I was impressed with her at first. She had a pretty simple task. She was 2-5 to win a little maiden up there, but she really did bounce off the fast ground really well and you know, absolutely hacked up beating Madam Butterfly, who set a reasonable level. And Postulant was a further 10 lengths behind her. Good gaps back to the horses that she beat on that occasion. And I like that just the stable comments afterwards. Chris Richardson, the managing director of Cheveley Park Stud, they quite like this filly, I think, and this is just another sort of step on the ladder for her. It's a competitive race. I mean, you've got a horse in here, Touchline, who ran third at Royal Ascot last week, and you know, one or two other horses that are really improving and progressing nicely. And Tempting, effectively, is only rated 87, but I like the fact that William Haggis is not going the handicap route with her. He decides that she's good enough to go and win or compete well in a listed race, and fingers crossed you'll show that on Wednesday afternoon.
Okay, Tempting for Sam in the 410. Moving on to the 445 next. This one is the Cumberland Plate, a big handicap class 4 event over the extended mile and 3 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Again, big field here, 17 of them. Sam, who would you side with?
Yeah, I've got a short list of about 12 here. Warfare was on it, but just a slight issue with him about the trip. I mean, he really did take the mile and a quarter in his stride at Ayr last time. El Thebe was placed in the race last year. He's a horse that you'd perhaps shortlist. Comedy King, Luca Kamani often sends one up for this. I think he had one beaten, a Franciscan at a head or something at 16-1. So he's a trainer to keep an eye on in this race. And as is Brian Ellison, who runs 2, top of the glass. And the one that I'm just going to side with, which is Carthage, who hasn't got the most orthodox head carriage, let's say, but he is a very talented horse on decent ground. And I didn't think he got the most effective ride last time out at Chester behind John Quinn's Trendsetter. Conor Donoghue made a sweeping charge around the outside of the field from sort of almost last place into first in a furlong or 2 furlongs. It was reminiscent, if you remember, Jamie Spencer on Angel Gabriel in the Chester a couple of years ago. Previous to that, Carthage had run well, staying on tidily at York over a mile and a half in a competitive handicap, and he previously won at Windsor in a very good time, beating Arclighter under Sylvester D'Souza. Now, Brian Ellison's run a number of horses in this race in the last 10 years. He's had a bit of success, and he's also trained a number of decent priced second, third and fourths as well. Graham Lee looks a good booking. Stall 17 might not be the negative that it first looks, because you know, a number of past winners have been drawn wide. I think Noble Allen was drawn wide when he won last year. He was like sort of 16 of 18. So it's not always the disadvantage that you might think. So I'm going to go with Carthage to keep the Ellison bandwagon rolling.
Yeah, a year before as well, Wallow Way went out of 17.
That's encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, and brushing back in 2010 out of 15. So it's not impossible from a wide draw. Mm. And Brian Ellison, of course, won it with Overrule in 2009. Yep. So.
Yeah, he's had a few near misses as well, so it's obviously a race he targets. Stable's in very good form at the moment as well, so I like the booking of Graham Lee, the man of the moment.
Mm. The 455 at Salisbury is where we finish. This is a Class 2 handicap over a mile. It's for 3-year-olds and older. I suppose the logical starting point here will be Lightning Spear, Sam, given that he's had 3 starts, won all 3 of them.
Yeah, he's tremendous colt, isn't he, by Pivotal. Looks a really exciting horse as well. Won at Lingfield last time out, beat Sacred Act. I think he was balloted out of a race at Ascot, probably the Britannia, I think. Didn't quite make the cut there. So he sets a good standard for these to get at. But I'm just going to go with Roger Varian's 4-year-old by Shamadal, Red Hat here. I think very interesting they've kept this in training. Obviously, she'd won a couple of races last year. So you would think, well, what else is there to achieve, really? But they clearly feel that they've got a mark that they can exploit. Rating of 91, she went up £5 for a Musselburgh win on very fast ground. On a final start of last year, all she did was progress and thrive as the season wore on. She graduated from a mark of 79 to 91. And I've got a feeling that there might just be a little bit more improvement to come from her as well. She really does love fast ground. I think Freddie Tylicki said as much when she won at Windsor early on last year. And hopefully she's a little bit progressive. And with Ryan Moore on board, she might just beat one or two horses that have been banging their head against a brick wall, the handicapper's brick wall.
Okay, wreck that then for Sam. In that one, let's just have a quick summary as always, if you'll spin us through your selections for Wednesday one more time.
Yes, starting off at Salisbury with the 455, Red Hat, number 3 on the card to take that mile fast ground handicap. Then over at Carlisle, the 335, the Carlisle Bell. He's no saint from the David O'Mara camp. Fergal Lynch booked a ride. In the 410, the Eternal Stakes. Go with Tempting here, number 8, the lightly raced daughter of Pivotal, trained by William Haggis. And in the 445, the Cumberland Plate Handicap, great affair this, 17 go to post. And like the claims here of Brian Ellison's Carthage.
Superb. Good to see you again, Sam. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Cheers, mate.
So there you go. The thoughts of Sam Turner on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 PM. Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott will be the team in the studio. It's Salisbury, Carlisle and Worcester in the afternoon, Bath, Kempton and Nace in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.